Hey, mamas, do you have a personal manual that you're working out of? A guide that kind of tells you how to live your life and what's right and wrong? Your partner has one too, so come on into the podcast and let's talk about how to operate out of our manuals.
Hey, this is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky. Welcome to the Cycles and Sanctity Podcast.
I'm a Billings Ovulation Method instructor and a certified Catholic mindset coach.
And I'm a labor and delivery nurse, an IBCLC, and a La Leche League leader.
We're here to share with you the beauty and the pain of your cycles.
Have you considered honoring your cycle throughout the journey of your womanhood?
Have you ever considered your cycle as a tool towards your holiness?
Well, sisters, it is. We're excited to walk this journey with you.
So go grab your favorite journal and pen and your hot beverage and let's do this. Hey, Catholic Divas, welcome back to the podcast. We have a question for you. What manuals do you have? You may not even realize what a manual is. And so I'm going to give you that definition. In our Catholic coaching, we talk about manuals a lot. And a manual is, if you think about your car, or if you're in the military, you'll have a manual, or maybe even if you have a work handbook manual, employee handbook manual, right?
Or even just a refrigerator or a new vacuum, they all have manuals.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Any kind of thing, any workable thing, like your computer or something, has a manual of how things work, mm-hmm. right? So these are kind of what we call it a manual, but it's really like, what are our expectations? How do things work in your life? And we've been talking about lots of things about women. What are our manuals about our cycle? We talked about our pre-puberty women and like our body image, like what is the expectation?
What manual are we reading out of when it comes to what our bodies should look like? What manual are we reading out of when what we expect out of birth? What manual are we reading out of when we talk about living with our partner, who, by the way, is your husband? Because in a marriage, you become partners.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And what manual do we have about our children? Like, what are they going to look like, or not look like physically, but how are they going to behave? Who are they going to become? What is our family going to look like?
How we discipline.
Yeah. And it's interesting because one of the things that we want to talk about is, you know, like as we're preparing possibly for marriage, or as we're going into marriage, or maybe you've already been married. But one of the things Vicky and I were talking about is, we both have acknowledged that our marriage preparation was sorely lacking, and that's just one of those things. And yet, I remember the only thing that I received from my marriage prep was a thing called focus, and it was just an inventory. I don't know, 300 questions, 100 questions, something like that. The male took and the female, and they gave their answers, and then they sent them into some sort of machine, and it got back.
The data came back on what you're compatible on, what you aren't compatible on, or what your viewpoint is. Not necessarily compatibility is not the right word.
Maybe. Yes, exactly.
How do you peel the banana?
Yes, exactly. And that's really.
And how does your partner peel the banana?
And those are really kind of manuals.
And what makes you think about exactly why do I peel the banana this way? Or why does my partner peel the banana that way?
Yeah. The old meme, you know, the toilet on the, you know, the downside.
Which way? Yeah, exactly.
Which way? And it really doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. But that would be a really good manual. And the reason why we wanted to talk about this is because many times we don't realize that we are operating from manuals or from beliefs that we have been given somewhere, somehow, some way, but we haven't communicated to the loved ones that we have, to our husbands, to our children, to our extended family, of what those expectations and how we move through our life because of these manuals, right?
You know, one that comes to mind a lot of times, if you get together with a bunch of women, and especially newer marriages, you know, the husband just can't get the socks in the hamper. And this just sends the wife over the edge. Like, why is he so inconsiderate? Reality says, did you ever come home and say, you know, honey, is there a reason you don't put the socks in the hamper? And he looks at me and goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, some things are done, you know, the real-time example. My husband actually does the laundry. He loves doing it a certain way. Great. That's a load off me. So one day he asked me, why do you take your clothes off inside out? I was like, I don't take my clothes off inside out. And then I look at the laundry and all of my clothes are inside out. But I didn't even think about it. Like, I just get undressed and get ready for bed. And it really, and I guess when I fold laundry, I just, if it's inside out, I fold it the right way. And it doesn't even, it's a nothing to me. But to my husband, he's literally like, what kind of monster?
That's so funny.
What's their clothes in the hamper inside out?
I have to like add the story, because when my husband does the laundry, when he folds, if something is inside out, he will fold it with it inside out. And you're right. That is such a minute manual.
Yeah, it's a very tiny manual.
It's a tiny, tiny manual of what we expect and why we expect it. But going back to that focus, that really showed for me, it's just one of our little traditions, because it was so, that was really the only marriage prep we got. We will typically on our anniversary pull that out. My husband still keeps it and we look at it and we kind of laugh. But one of the interesting manuals that it revealed to us that I really remember was, my husband came from a family. He's the only son. He's the oldest child, but with four sisters. And his dad worked sometimes two or three jobs. And his mother went back to work. He has twin sisters that are about my age. So she went to work when they went into kindergarten. So she worked outside the home. And then, because of their situation, chaos, things, that marriage broke up. And so when he was in high school, she was a single mom. And she had the attitude that it didn't matter whether you were male or female, you were going to do the work. So he learned to vacuum, he did dishes, he does all the things on the inside. My family, because of my own upbringing, my dad was very male, female oriented, where the women did the interior work, cooking, cleaning, those kinds of things. And the men did the outside work, the yard work, the cars and things like that. And so for my husband to do things on the inside, it triggered me, because one of my messages, which I have really had to work on, one of the lies that I have accepted from the enemy was that I'm not enough. And when he would come home, when we were both working, that was one of the first manuals, actually, was the fact that he was willing for me to work. He really was like, if you want to work, if you don't want to work, it doesn't matter. Whereas I had the expectation of, as soon as we had babies, I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, which thankfully he was open to that, right? But then secondly, when I started homeschooling, and there would be days where we'd had lunch, some of the kids had snacks, and the kitchen sink was full of dishes and stuff. And he would come home and he would start doing the dishes and finishing the laundry that I hadn't finished. I would go into this guilt complex with not being enough. And then I would proceed to kind of go on the offense, because I would take it that he was mad at me, thinking, of course, we never know what the other thinks interiorly unless they actually say it. He never said it to me, but I took it as a message. Because of my manual, women should take care of the home. And so since I wasn't doing it and he was having to do it, my manual was going off, triggering of like,
I'm failing, you know,
that's right.
He's disappointed. And this is just the beginning, I think, of a nugget of how, if we don't address communication in our marriages, that maybe one thing, that one night of dishes isn't what sets it off. But it's when you don't communicate that. And I didn't really understand manuals till recently, till I got into Catholic coaching and my eyes were open. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a relief. So if you are having things like this, don't judge your own thoughts and say, wow, you know, when you get a feeling of your spouse, oh, he thinks I'm messing up. Unless he said, hey, what happened today? Like, why is the kitchen not clean? That can lead into a whole other discussion of why the kitchen isn't clean. But it opens the door to a conversation. I guess what I'm trying to say is, instead of feeling attacked or judged, just understand you're both reading out of different manuals.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you're right. This concept of manuals was very new to me as well when I discovered Catholic coaching. Just the thought of like, where is this thought coming from? Like, why is this important to me? And why should it look like this? That really shows you what your manual could possibly be or why it's not. And first of all, being able to identify your manuals, and maybe even if you can, doing the work, again, this is your own work if you choose to, trying to understand why that manual was given to you and whether you really value that manual. For instance, that manual about, like with me, my family of origin was the women do the inside work, the men do the outside work. And yet my husband had this different manual that it didn't matter who, you know, male or female, each of you were going to do it. And in reality, he is a much better cleaner in the house. Like, I love it when he cleans the kitchen. And I have been able to let go of that robe, let go of that manual of like thinking that I have to do it, and giving him that opportunity and giving him that act of service. Because now that's the other thing, is understanding his own love language, mm-hmm. which my husband just excels in acts of service. And that was something else I had to come to understand of, like, he's not saying that he doesn't love me because he's spending 4 hours cleaning the pool. He's actually showing me that he does love me because, while he doesn't like getting in the pool, I love getting in the pool. And making sure the pool is clean and cared for is his way of making sure that I'm cared for.
Yeah, my husband is an acts of service guy too, but kind of in a different way. You know, he's seen over the years that I put myself last a lot of times. Like, my purse could be falling apart. I desperately need a new purse. And I'll just be like, I just don't want to spend that money. I'd rather give this to this kid, or I'd rather do this for the home. And he will go out and he'll do it. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, why did you spend this money? Like, why did you do this? And, you know, I'm irritated. And in his mind, he's like, you deserve this. I love you. You are the mother of the home. You can have a purse that isn't duct taped together, you know? And it's just, when, again, many times I think in our relationships, when there is a misunderstanding, often it really is just coming from our different manuals, and especially the ones that make you feel attacked. Like, it's different if you miscommunicate and you're like, oh, are you picking up so-and-so from school, or am I, or what time? And there's a genuine miscommunication. That's different. But when your spouse does something and you feel criticized, it usually is because you're coming from two different manuals or two different beliefs.
Yes.
And oftentimes we have expectations of our spouses or our children, and they have no idea we have these expectations.
Exactly. And one of the other things I want to share with you is, there's another beautiful phrase that we use in the coaching world, and I use many times with my clients, is locus of control. That means the place of control. And really, the only place that I am in control is in my thoughts and in my words and in my actions and in my emotions. I'm not in control of what my husband thinks. So that was part of my lack of understanding, is that I took it, going back to that phraseology, that example of the kitchen, I'm sitting on the couch helping my third grader read his chapter book, and my husband comes home and goes into the kitchen and cleans up the kitchen. And I don't know what he's thinking because he hasn't said anything. I don't know what he's feeling because he hasn't shared with me. But I took it as that he's angry with me and he thinks that I'm not doing my job. But that wasn't my locus of control, because he never said those things. He never really communicated with those. That was all in my own head. And that's part of those things. Like, we want to look at other people's locus of control and change that, rather than look at ourselves and say, how can I change? And that was really what happened. You know, thankfully, I had to look at that and realize, like, wait a minute, is he really mad at me? Did he communicate that? He hasn't really. I'm just inferring it until I asked him, are you mad, or what's going on? And he actually shared with me, which was kind of surprising. Like, no, I like doing the dishes. It gives me time to decompress from work and transition into home.
Right. I guess just a quick question, like, locus of control. I thought locus of control was like, if my husband wants to come home every day and do the dishes, I can't stop him. Like, if that's what he wants to do, like, it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah. Again, it's two people, two locus of controls coming in together. Right. And so it's, what is his thoughts? What are his actions? What are his emotions about something? Or even, what is the environment? Like, I can't change that it's raining, right? That's
right.
Beyond my locus of control.
Correct.
I can't control
that's what I'm,
that thing.
And I guess I'm saying, you know, sometimes I think it comes down to this. Like, if, even if you say, hey, when you do the dishes, I feel like I'm not doing my job. And then he responds like, well, I like doing it. It helps me transition to the home. Some situations might require further explanation, like, okay, well, I hear you, but it still really, it just throws me off. Like, it opens a door for more communications.
Yes.
So that immediate, like, you doing the dishes makes me feel a certain kind of way. It might not end there.
That's right. Because that's when you say, okay.
Kind of have to look at each other's manuals. Like, well, sometimes you got to actually read the manual to operate the machine.
Right. But you had a really good point, Vicky, because you said, okay, when he comes to do the dishes, it makes me feel whatever. It's my thought. And Right. That's where the work is. That's where my work is. Like, what is my thought that is creating this emotion of, and
it, that's really a good point. Whenever you think this person is doing that and making me feel what it really is, I have a thought and I feel a certain way about this thing. So it's really your work.
Yes.
So just a little helpful note, like, because it's true. Nobody can make you feel any kind of way. Nobody can steal your joy.
Yes, exactly.
But often we don't even have that tool to know it.
Right. And really, you're right, because that was the further conversation we had, was because finally I had to admit to him that I felt like I was being judged. And the message that I was receiving was, I'm not good enough and I'm not doing my job.
Right.
But when I actually spoke those words to him, he was confused,
right?
Because that was the furthest from his mind.
Yeah.
Because what he saw when he came in was a mom who's doing homeschooling and taking care of our kids and doing things that most. And so his mind, actually, his thought was, how can I help her?
Mm-hmm.
And so isn't that interesting? Here's this one situation and two different manuals, right?
Yes. I always tell my husband, we get to impasses a lot of times. I tease him that most of the time, our goal is the same. We literally go the opposite ways to do it. We start on the track. One goes one way, the other goes the other, and we meet on the other side. But we went completely different ways about it. And it's really easy in that process to think the other one is like somehow not wanting to please the other one, but that's the exact opposite. I use the old fable or whatever you call it, where there's a fisherman and his wife. And the fisherman needs new nets, and she has long, beautiful hair, and he wants to buy her these beautiful combs. So like his nets break, and she goes and like cuts her hair and sells it to get him new nets. And he sells his nets to get her these combs. So they're both trying to do the same thing, but they're reading out of different manuals. So there's a miscommunication they're both trying to please each other, but because they aren't talking, aren't communicating that message that you're operating off your expectations or your beliefs. And you're not even giving your partner a chance.
Yes.
And with all these things we're talking about, getting married, natural family planning, birthing, breastfeeding, even going through menopause, all of these things, you need to be on the same page as your partner. And this often calls for hard conversations, because sometimes we're not ready to put our own manuals down, or your partner isn't ready, or maybe you don't even know how. Maybe the belief is so deep that you need some work and prayer and time in adoration and a Catholic coach to help guide you. Because a lot of times, even listening to these podcasts, you get like that beginner class. You're in the beginner class here listening to the podcast, but to get to the next step, maybe a discovery call or something along these lines to help bring you in. And again, we talk about being safe. It gives you a safe place to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're for you. We're for marriage. We're for communication.
Yes.
And so this is a safe place to come where, speaking personally, like talking with Mama Jane about some things that I wouldn't feel comfortable sharing with anyone else. And then the relief you get when she's like, you know, you're not crazy. That's not the farthest, craziest thing I've ever heard. And I can see where you came to that thought or that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's relieving.
Well, and that's the other thing I really want to point out is that was the freeing for me. That was very freeing in the understanding that just because I was given this manual, like I said, my family of origin, it was very male, female mm-hmm. in the way the duties of the
traditional
home.
Roles.
Right. Traditional roles.
40s, 50s.
Yes. And yet, because my husband came from a different perspective, it opened and freed us on how to parent our children, how to prepare our children. You know, a few weeks ago, my youngest daughter, but middle child, moved to Austin, and watching her put together the stools, the bar stools, and the furniture. And I was so proud of her because she was doing things that I hadn't been given the opportunity to learn or was encouraged to do. And yet, because of my husband's way of being brought up, he has taught my girls these things. And he's also taught my boys how to do the dishes and cook and things like that. And it's very freeing, the fact that we have a choice. Our free will is so, so powerful that maybe we do have manuals or beliefs. Beliefs are really just thoughts that we keep thinking, such as, I'm not good enough, like that whole kitchen scenario that I was, you know, I was working from a manual that I'm not good enough and I have to prove myself that I'm only worthy if I do, you know, if I check the block, and I didn't check that block because he had to do it. And therefore I went into this rant of, I'm not good enough.
Well, you keep having the thoughts and then your judgments on the thoughts.
That's right.
The feelings, and the feelings don't last longer than 90 seconds because you keep thinking the thought and it's just a bunch of 90 seconds.
Yes. But when I realized, like, I can choose a different thought, mm-hmm. I can choose a different belief. And he gave me that belief.
Yes. Yes.
The belief he gave me was, you are an amazing mom and doing homeschooling. The dishes can be done by anybody.
Right.
Not everybody can do what you're doing.
Or just another message of, we're on the same team.
Yes.
We're on the same team.
That's,
you're doing that. I'm doing this. It's not even a thing. It's just, we're working together to get to the end goal.
Exactly. Which is why I love when you say partner, because it really does remind us that we are together in this journey of creating this family, creating. And it's interesting because when we used to teach marriage prep, I used to tell them, like, get one of those little established when on, you know, mm-hmm. the Snyder yeah. family established on this day, you know, business is established,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And because you get to create this, your own company, like you, your family is your own creation, and you can take the tools that were given to you from your family of origin, but you can create new tools that they might not have had.
Right. Because it's a new company.
That is, it's a new company.
You know, I thinking about this, I guess I always go back to, you know, breastfeeding in the beginning, in those early days of postpartum and breastfeeding, it's a lot of work.
I mean,
postpartum is a lot of work in that season. And I think that's a message. A lot of times I got that message of, I'm not enough, instead of just speaking what I needed. You know, let's say my husband wouldn't wake up to go do whatever it is I thought he should be doing, you know, as I'm up for the 45th time, you know, dealing with the baby, he didn't even know to get up because I didn't ask him. I didn't, you know, and there's a difference between, like, get up with me because this is awful and I don't want to do awful alone. But to say, hey, honey, you know, I my water's out. Can you please just go get me some water? And that will open discussion. So, like, all the hard things we have to do in our marriage, in our life, so often we read a manual that says, I have to do this alone.
Yes.
This is my journey alone. Woe is me. And instead, and we don't even ask our partner. So we don't even know to help. Mm-hmm. I know that in my marriage, if my husband says, hey, is there any way you know, I need this? I'm like, oh yeah, I'd love to help out.
Yes.
You know, so usually your partner wants to, you know, if I'm over here going, I thought this guy loves scrambled eggs. I've been making them every morning and he eats them. And then one day he says, is there any way I could have a fried egg? And I'm like, I thought you liked them scrambled. He's like, actually, no, I don't want them scrambled. And I'm like, revelation.
Yeah. You know, it's true. And, you know, it's funny you talk about that, about getting up in the middle of the night with the babies. We kind of tease because with our firstborn, the way our house was designed, she was in a separate room. And I'm the type of person that once my feet hit the ground, I am up for hours. And so the second born, that's what we started practicing, is he would get the baby up, he would go and change the diaper, and he would bring that baby to me so that I didn't have to get out of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we joke now with grown children, he's the nighttime parent. And kids, they were young and they would wake up throwing up. They would call for dad.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't call for mom, which was, you know, like people like, wait, they call for dad? And I'm like, yeah, isn't that a great thing? But again, that was a different manual that
right.
we created ourselves because we brought out the best of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the morning person. I would get up early. I had a couple of kids that were morning birds, and you know me, I'm still up early.
Insane, guys. So I'm the exact opposite. You know, I'm a night girl. So whereas I'll stay up till 2-3 in the morning, that's, you know, Jane's about to get up in an hour.
Yeah, right. That's why you're the night nurse
exactly.
and I'm not, you know. So, but no. And so that's one of the freedoms about manuals and creating what is important to you. And again, going back to your cycle, your womanhood, you know, maybe something that you were given is not serving you. You have permission to let it go and understand who you are in a new way and really think of it in a different term. And one of the things as a Catholic coach, we always talk about is, like, what does God say about it?
Yes.
Because again, most of the lies are the identity. that was where it was hitting me, right? Like, yeah. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good mother. Yeah. I'm not a good homekeeper. It was hitting my identity.
And that's a message God would never send you.
Absolutely. And
so when you go start getting that self-doubt of, you know, my husband doesn't love me, I'm not good enough. Those are the enemy's lies. And an alarm going off that says, you know, get on your knees a little bit and refocus. Read mm-hmm. a scripture that lifts you up.
Mm-hmm.
Or reach out to a Catholic friend that's going to remind you, hey, you're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things real quickly I want to give you as a tip when you're journaling and really kind of downloading what we call downloading your thoughts on a certain issue is, what is the tone of that thought? Because the tone, you know, when we read something, you know, that's why we do English literature and poetry and things, right? We can hear a certain tone of the way someone has written it. And a lot of times, the sentence that we hear in our brain, that thought, has a certain tone. And maybe the thought is neutral, but what the tone makes it mean, right? The thought was, I haven't done the dishes from lunch, which is true. I didn't do the dishes. But what it made it mean was accusatory. The tone was accusing mm-hmm. me and criticizing me. And that wasn't what God desires. And that's not what my husband desires. Mm-hmm. And so when I was able to take that and acknowledge it and say, no, you know what? I reject the tone. How can I change that tone? What is a better tone? And part of it was like, great, I didn't do the dishes. I mean, one of the new thoughts for me was, my husband gets to do these dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his way of participating in homeschooling, because he knew his limitations in educating. And that was one of the things he's like, I'm not the teacher. You are the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became closer. And it was a beautiful way of transitioning that belief and that manual. So that's one of those things, the tone.
That's very true. And a lot of times in manuals, sometimes you get a computer manual. It tells you how to do your computer. But then I'll have one of my kids or a younger person come up and be like, oh, you know, you can just do the shortcut. Now, the manual didn't show me that shortcut, but now I'm like, oh, wow, you can do it that way. So, I mean, think about your computer. You can do the same thing four different ways. And it's what way is comfortable for you. So sometimes it's scary to look at your manual and think, wow, this isn't right. I've been mm-hmm. operating off a manual that wasn't showing me the best way.
Right.
But we can change those manuals.
Yes.
And like you said, in your new company, establish new manuals.
That's right. And that's one of the things that we're here for, is to help you really kind of expand those thoughts and mm-hmm. expand a different way of looking at something. I always use the analogy of a Rubik's Cube. You know, maybe you've only looked at the red side of the Rubik's Cube and never realized that if you just flip it over, there's actually a yellow side.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. was the best thing that I loved about La Leche League, because there were so many women that had so many different varieties of ways of breastfeeding and the family.
And
yes. And it gave me a new perspective. It's kind of like, if you don't know that there is a country named China, you could never learn Chinese or even eat Chinese food, right? So being exposed to different ways of thinking and then giving you that freedom of, which is what we always said at La Leche League, like, take what will be useful to you and leave the rest. And there were times when I would come home from a La Leche League meeting and say to my husband, hey, this family does it this way. And he's looking at me like, no way, we're not doing that. Okay, well, that was just an idea. It was just something. So I hope this was useful for you, mamas.
Again, it all boils down to communication and keeping our eye on the prize. Like, this life, we want to get through as peacefully as possible, but we're going for the eternal life and we want to go it the best way we know how to go. And our God is always there for us to lean on. And this podcast is a supportive place to come. Also, our Facebook page. We want to talk to you guys. So let us know how we can help.
Yes. And speaking one more thing about that is keeping the eyes on our prize. I love that, Vicky, is going to adoration mm-hmm. is a wonderful way to present the manual to God
mm-hmm.
and ask him if this is a manual that he wants you to have, or how do we update the manual, mm-hmm. right? How do we take out the pages and add the new pages? How do we take the shortcut?
And adoration is such a beautiful place, because you are there with the Lord.
Yes.
And it's quiet and it's time. I don't like the word forces, but it provides the space for you to listen.
Yes.
And even if you don't hear it loud and clear, like over a loudspeaker, you're hearing it. You'll go home and you'll have a thought, and that's where it will come from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're facing love itself. Mm-hmm. And so that is the spiritual practice we want to remind you as we close with our scripture verse from Ephesians 3.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we can ask or imagine by the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We hope to serve you. We hope to see you over at our Facebook group, and have a great week. Hey, before you go, have you joined our Facebook group page, Cycles and Sanctity? Well, we want you to go ahead and go over to Facebook and just look up Cycles and Sanctity and come on and join our group, and we can continue having this conversation over there.